Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this evening is a portion of the gospel lesson where we hear our Lord Jesus and the disciples coming from a village. As he saw the crowds of people, he felt sorry for them because they were troubled and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "There is much grain to be harvested, but there are only a few workers. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers to bring in his grain." These are the words of our text. What did the people look like that our Lord Jesus refers to here? As he saw the crowds of people, we're told he felt sorry for them because they were troubled, helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. What does that face look like? What type of face did our Lord Jesus see? As Matthew gives us a look into our Lord's heart, he felt sorry for them. He didn't have pity on them. He had compassion on them. And there's a great difference between pity and compassion. Because they were troubled and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. What does a troubled and helpless face look like? My guess is the faces that our Lord Jesus saw as he walked among those crowds didn't look a whole lot different than your face or my face. My guess is that perhaps some of us gathered here tonight may be feeling troubled, maybe feeling helpless. And yet, on our faces, we try to hide those feelings inside, don't we? The people that Jesus saw in those crowds looked very ordinary. They could have been the people we see in the grocery store. Sometimes when I'm pushing the cart through, I'm not necessarily paying attention to the groceries on the shelves, but I'm looking at the people. The mother trying to control two little toddlers and a baby. The toddlers each grabbing at their favorite cereal or something else that they want mom to put in the cart. There's perhaps the widow or widower going through the grocery aisles, not needing to pick up as much as they used to, because now they're cooking for one. Or the mother or father who are empty nesters and don't need 5 gallons of milk a week, can get by with a half a gallon, and maybe haven't quite come to that realization yet. People at the gas pump, filling up their tank because they need to get to work. We see faces of troubled and helpless people all the time. Over the past week, we've seen lots of helpless, troubled people's faces on the news. People whose communities are being flooded, farms that are underwater, houses that are swept away. And we heard of a Boy Scout camp struck by a tornado, and 4 boys, 4 scouts killed. There are troubled and helpless people everywhere. And as they look to God They look to him in either one of two ways. They either look at him in anger and scorn and wrath and wag their fist and cry out, "How? Why could you allow this to happen?" They come to us and say, "How can you believe in a loving God when all of this is going on around us?" Or they look at their situation and they commend themselves to God and His care with a confidence and the trust that God will see them through, understanding full well that the things of this life, of this world, of this age are only temporary, are only transient, that our real treasure, our real glory, our true riches are found in Jesus Christ and the everlasting life that He offers to us. People will look at it either one of those two ways. Our Lord Jesus looked at the crowd and they were troubled and they were helpless, and He said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray that the Lord of the harvest would send out workers into His field." And then guess what? In chapter 10, Matthew tells us Jesus called His disciples to Him and He sent them out. We can hear those words, "Pray that the Lord of the harvest would send out workers into His harvest." But are we prepared for Him to call us to send us out to those who are troubled and those who are helpless? One of the scouts said on the television that it was good that that tornado hit that scout camp. And Ann Curry asked, "How can you say that? How can you say that it was good that that tornado hit here? Four of your fellow scouts are dead." And I suppose that's what the world would say to us if we said, "It was good that that thing happened to me," instead of somebody else. One woman who I never knew, she had gone to be with the Lord long before I came on the scene in my first parish in North Dakota, would always say to somebody who was complaining about something, "Well, who would you wish that God would visit that upon? Who do you wish, who would you want God to afflict in that way?" To which the people would often be silent, because it's very easy to complain. But how many of us are willing to say, "It was good that that thing happened to me," rather than somebody else? And the 13-year-old scout said, "It was good for it to happen to us here because we were ready for it. We were prepared. We knew how to deal with the situation. We knew how to apply tourniquets and apply pressure and how to deal with the wounds and how to get things back under control that people elsewhere maybe wouldn't have been so prepared to handle." That's a rather profound statement for a 13-year-old to say, isn't it? And yet, by God's grace, can't we also say, "It was good that that trial, that affliction came to me because I'm able to handle it. Not in myself, but I'm able to handle it because, by God's grace, I can put my faith and my trust and my confidence in the promises of God. That God has promised to send a Savior, and He has fulfilled that promise to me in His Son, Jesus Christ. That He has fulfilled His promises to me in my baptism. And maybe as I live my life, as I journey as God's child in this world, I don't always recall and live that baptismal covenant that I've been brought into. But God has claimed me as His own, and the promises are sure. When tragedy hits, when people are troubled and helpless, we're the ones that are prepared, because we have come to know God's gracious work in our lives through affliction, through distress, through our own helplessness and our own troubles. We have Jesus Christ to offer them. We have hope to offer them. Paul, writing to the Romans in our epistle lesson, says that through one man, sin came to the entire world. And through that one man, so also came death. And then he goes on elsewhere to say, but the gift, the free gift in God, abounds much more so. If death came to all because of sin, how much more does God's grace and righteousness extend to all through Jesus Christ? Our world struggles and searches and seeks and continues to be lost because it, first of all, does not take sin seriously. Nor does it take God's grace seriously. And sometimes even God's leaders, God's church people, don't take those two things seriously. I remember sitting with a group of pastors discussing the scripture readings for a particular Sunday. And they were all skirting the issue, and I said, but you're ignoring man's sin. You're ignoring original sin and how it corrupts everything. And they laughed at me. You don't really believe in that, do you? This morning I baptized an infant, Haley. And as part of the prayer in the baptism was, God, forgive her of her sin which she has inherited from Adam and those sins which she herself has committed through this washing of regeneration. Yes, I take that sin seriously, because that is the source and the root of the troubledness and the helplessness. But also, it becomes very easily for us, if we don't take sin seriously, not to take God's grace seriously. Because if there is no sickness, why would we need a cure? In our own lives, we can become callous to our own sin. And God's word needs to come to us and remind us again of our sinfulness. Remind us of our disease, of our sickness, of our leprosy of sin. Then we can go also to His grace in Christ Jesus and see how much more so that grace abounded to you and to me. And how in our baptism God makes it real to us and personal for us. Jesus looked out at the people and saw that they were troubled and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Perhaps as our Lord looked out at those people, he saw people who had no knowledge of their sin, only saw an endless striving to get ahead, only to have one trouble after another afflict them. Nor could they see God's grace being extended to them in Jesus. And so he says, pray that the Lord would send out workers into his harvest field to bring in his harvest. And then he sends out his 12. Today he comes to us again with that word of promise, of prayer, to send out workers into the harvest field. And he calls you and I to go out, to share with those who are troubled and helpless the reality of sin. Bad things happen in this world because of sin. But God's love is far greater than our sin. And he sent his Son into the world to take our sin upon himself. And in him is our life. Not in our multi-million dollar home that falls into an empty lake. Not even in this flesh and bone that can be killed in an instant. But our life is found in Jesus Christ. He gives us that life in the water. He gives us that life in the bread and the wine that we receive tonight with his body and blood. He gives us that life in his word to take into ourselves, to heal us of our sickness, to fill us with that hope in our time of troubledness and helplessness, so that we then can go forth and comfort those who are afflicted with the comfort we ourselves have received from him. Indeed, not only pray that the Lord of the harvest would send out workers, but be that worker. It's not about filling pulpits. It's not about sending men to the seminary or men and women to the teacher's college. It's about God's people taking the reality of sin and grace seriously and looking out at their world and seeing those who are troubled and helpless because they don't understand their own sin and their own fallenness, nor can they grasp the greatness of God's love for them. May God grant that to us, not only for his glory, but for the comfort of those souls that are troubled and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd, to whom he will send us to be his messenger, his voice, his tender touch. Amen.